Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyu. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for tonight, and we are grateful to you that we have another opportunity to receive an impartation from you. There is something that we must hear. There is a gift that you want to give to us. There is something that you want to grant us. And I pray in the name of Jesus, may everyone under the sound of my voice receive that particular thing that you have purposed for him or her. In the name of Jesus. May it be another memorable and profitable time in your presence. In Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus, and you may be seated. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're reading from verse 9 to verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 to 11, reading from the King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee." And then notice the expression, "For he is profitable to me for the ministry." For he is profitable to me for the ministry. Hallelujah. Then let's look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 29 to 30. Matthew 25, verse 29 to 30, this time from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, "To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Now, when we received Jesus as Lord and Savior, when we became born again, we must understand that Jesus also became our master, which means that we belong to him and he has control over our lives. Hallelujah. So he's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our King, he is our Redeemer, he is our Good Shepherd, but he's also our master. And if he is our master, it means that we are his servants. How many servants of God do I have here? Right. Because once we talk about a master, we must also talk about a servant. There cannot be a master without a servant. So that is why we describe ourselves, especially pastors and ministers of the gospel, we describe ourselves as servants of God. And that includes you. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ is our master and we are his servants. But it's important for us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if you are a servant to somebody or you're serving somebody, you must be interested in being profitable unto that person. That should be the aim of every good servant. To please your master. And one of the ways to please your master is to be profitable unto him. So for some weeks now, this is the third teaching in the series I've been sharing with you on profitable unto the master. Profitable unto the master. And the master obviously is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I must be profitable unto him. Did somebody say amen? And I explained to you that profitable is from the Greek word eukrestos, which means useful, easy to make use of, helpful, assisting, beneficial, effective, productive, fruitful, serviceable, and valuable. So if you and I are going to be profitable unto the master, we must be all of these things. We must be useful to him. We must be beneficial to him. We must be effective in what he assigns us to do. We must be serviceable, fruitful, and valuable. If you've employed people before, you will discover that not everybody who works for you is valuable. And not everybody who works for you is effective. You can have a number of people working for you and doing different things for you. But not everybody is beneficial to you. Now, the opposite of profitable is unprofitable. And the extreme case of unprofitability is uselessness. Useless. So you saw in the first scripture that I read that Paul asked that John Mark should be brought to him because he is profitable unto him and to the work and assignment that God had called him to. Profitable. Then in the other scripture, which is part of the parable of the talents, it talks about the third servant who was given one talent, who did practically nothing with it except to bury it. Now, that servant was described as useless, which is the opposite of being profitable. So I've shared a few things with you. And I've explained that for you and I to be profitable unto the master, there are some seven things that we must understand. Seven things we must understand if we are going to be profitable unto the master. The first one I shared with you is that you can distinguish between Christians in the area of usefulness or profitability. You can distinguish between Christians in the area of usefulness or profitability. There are those who are useful or profitable, and there are those who are not. And in the worst case scenario, there are those who are useless. May God never describe you as a useless servant to him. And in the house of God and in the kingdom of God, may you be recognized as a very useful person, whose presence makes tremendous difference in the running of the church and in advancing the kingdom of God. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. The second thing that I explained to you, you must understand in your quest to be useful to the master, is that the master has an expectation of us that will be useful and profitable to him. The master has an expectation of us that we will be useful and profitable to him. The Lord Jesus, whose we are and whom we serve, has an expectation of each and every one of us that we will be useful and that we will be profitable to him. And he has every right to have that expectation because it cost him so much to save you and I. He paid a hefty price to work out our salvation. Why then would he not have an expectation that after going through everything that I went through to save these people, the appropriate response that I must get from them is that they will avail themselves for me to use and they will become profitable unto me. Hallelujah. The third thing that you must understand about being profitable unto the master is that we can be useful and profitable to the master in different aspects or capacities. We can be useful and profitable to the master in different aspects or in different capacities. The first one I shared with you is in the area of winning souls and helping to disciple and establish them. You and I can be useful to our master, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are involved, actively involved in winning souls and helping to disciple and establish them. After all, that was his last command to the disciples before he was caught up into heaven, before he ascended. And that is what we refer to as the Great Commission, where he gave that charge and that commission, that go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is the Great Commission. And that is the charge that you and I have. That is our mandate. And please, it is not a charge that has just been given to pastors and ministers of the gospel. In fact, you are also a minister of the gospel. And he saved us so that we can save others. You may not have gone to Bible school. You may not have a theology certificate. You may not have been to seminary, but you must recognize the fact that there is a responsibility that the master has placed on you. And that responsibility is given to everyone who accepts Jesus as Lord and Savior. So in John 15:16, the Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Then in the verse 17, it says, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will give it to you. Hallelujah. Amen. No, it's actually part of the 16. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, we get excited at the second half of this verse, the part that says that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So you pray and say, Father, you said in your word that whatever I ask you in the name of Jesus, you may give it to me. We don't even say you may give it. You say you will give it to us. But have you forgotten the first part? Because the second part is connected to the first part. And that connection is through the word that. That word that is linking the second part of this verse to the first part. Meaning that we get to a place where whatever we ask of the Father in Jesus' name, he may give it to us, is based on if we embrace our calling, that he's chosen us and ordained us. So you have been ordained. Nobody has yet made you a reverend minister. But don't worry about that. That is another level. But as you are, whoever you are, once you are saved and born again, you have actually been ordained. And you are a minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And if you check from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 18 to 20, it talks about the fact that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation and that we are ambassadors of Christ. That makes you a minister of Christ. And I told you that you have every right to call yourself honorable. You can call yourself honorable and nobody can take that away from you. And you are an ambassador of a superior kingdom. A kingdom that is not of this world. The kingdom of God. The greatest kingdom ever. And you are greatly to be envied. More than if you were an ambassador of the United States of America. And certainly more than if you are an ambassador of the Republic of Ghana. You are an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And you had better embrace that. Hallelujah. So, we can be profitable unto the master in this area of winning souls and helping to disciple and establish them. Then we can be profitable unto the master in the area of becoming fruitful or productive Christians. Becoming fruitful or productive Christians. Now, anytime I talk about being a fruitful Christian, you must understand that there are three perspectives of it. The first one, being fruitful in the area of winning souls. We've already talked a bit about that. But you can also be fruitful in the area of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, long-suffering, temperance, self-control, gentleness, and so on and so forth. You can be fruitful in that area. And God is expecting us that we should be fruitful in this area also. That as we move along, as we run the Christian race, as we interact with people, they should see that there is something different about us. We are full of love. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The peace of God is in our hearts. They must see that we are more self-controlled in this life. They must see that we are more gentle. They must see that we are temperate in all things. God is expecting us to be profitable in the area of bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, we can be profitable unto the master by becoming fruitful and productive Christians. Alas, not many Christians are like this. Not many Christians are fruitful. Not at all. But I believe that it is the reason why God stirred this message up in my heart. To announce to you that your master is expecting you to be profitable unto him. May your level and degree of profitability increase as a result of this teaching in the name of Jesus. And that will be the sign that you have been imparted by this series that I have shared with you. Hallelujah. Then another area that we can be profitable unto the master in, another aspect or perspective that we can be profitable unto the master, is in making a difference wherever we find ourselves through good deeds. Amen? We must make a difference wherever we find ourselves through good deeds or good works. So in Ephesians 2 verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained. Remember that in John 15, 16, he told us that he's ordained us. And he's ordained us. One of his expectations of us is that we will do good works or will practice good deeds. And that means that Christians must be seen to be doing good things wherever they find themselves. At your workplace, you should be an exceptional worker. You shouldn't be the one who is also causing trouble. Anytime there is an aluta, you are the one who is spearheading the aluta. And you think that when we talk about good deeds, that's what we mean. You are controversial. You are quarrelsome. You fought with everybody. You have a very lousy work ethic. You never finish your assignments. You get to work very late. What you are paid to do, you don't do unless somebody comes to give you bribe. You are not a good representative of the Lord and Master. And God is expecting us that we will do good works and carry out good deeds wherever we find ourselves. Did somebody say an amen to that? Remember that he describes us as the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And salt and light make a lot of difference. That means that we must make a lot of difference wherever we find ourselves. In the community that you live in, are you making a difference there? Do you have a reputation of doing good things and doing good deeds? You live in a compound house. You fought with everybody, including the landlord. And it's like you do not have a good reputation anyway. That is not what God is expecting of us. He's expecting us to do good deeds, including helping people, being kind to people, doing humanitarian services, showing love and compassion wherever we find ourselves. So we can be profitable unto the master in this area of good deeds. Then the next one, we can be profitable unto the master in the aspect of giving to support the building of God's house and its operations. Giving to support the building of God's house and its operations. So you give money and other kind of resources. You give to support the building of God's house and its operation. So that means that you are helping to advance the kingdom of God. If you are profitable unto the master, you must help to advance his kingdom. Otherwise, you are not profitable unto him. Jesus said, I will build my church, or I will build my kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So if your master is doing something, why are you not involved in what your master is doing? So one of the ways we can be profitable unto him is to give. Give offerings. Give tithes. And I shared this story with you from Exodus chapter 35, where it was time for the people of Israel. God had given an instruction to Moses to build the tabernacle. And Moses summoned the people. God asked Moses to call the people and tell them, I need things from you. Gold, silver, brass, fabrics of all kinds to build the tabernacle. Which means that God has an expectation of his people that what he has given to them and what he has blessed them with, they will give out of that to advance his kingdom. And the interesting thing that you must observe, which I drew your attention to last week, is that before they exited Egypt on the way to the promised land, God asked them to go to their slave masters and ask them for anything that they want, and the slave masters will give it to them. So I like the expression that the Bible says, that they spoiled the Egyptians. They took away a lot of their valuable things. But my friend, God had a plan for them. That thing that they took from their slave masters, through the favor that he, God, granted them before them, he was expecting that when the time comes to build his house, they would make it available. And you should understand this, that God doesn't just prosper and bless you so that you blow time and travel all over the place and have 5 cars in your house, color red, blue, yellow, black, and which other color? White. God is not expecting that as he's prospered you and blessed you powerfully, you will build a very huge house with 10 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms and toilets. Let me tell you something about buildings. There's a way that they lose value after a while. And not just that. But sometimes you can invest all your money to build something, thinking that your children will come and live in that thing. And when they grow, they don't like. They don't like at all. Because you see, the architecture of your time is very different from the architecture of today. I mean, when we were growing up, terrazzo houses were the thing of the day. I mean, if you live in a terrazzo house, people look at you with such envy and they see you that, Charlie, these people, they have money. Oh, they have a lot of money. They live in a terrazzo house. Who builds a terrazzo house today? Who? So that's not the reason for God prospering us and blessing us. And by all means, enjoy of the blessings that God has given to you. You must be able to take out of what God has given you and blow time small. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. The other day I was talking to a friend of mine and he was telling me that he's worked very hard and he wants to go on a vacation and he wants to take his wife to Dubai. I said, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. You see, he doesn't live here in this country. He lives in a country out there among whites. And white people, they don't play with their vacations. So it is our color people. We don't even know how to enjoy. Every time saving, every time building and all of that. White people, they save towards their vacation. And I think that is a good practice to have. Amen. When I said it, somebody said, it's like, you don't know what you are talking about. Look, believe God to get to that place in your life. Amen. I said, believe God to get to that place in your life. Hallelujah. I am waiting for my wife to take me on vacation somewhere. We will go. We will go. Thank you very much. Because I've taken her to places. And one good turn deserves another. Hey, ask her, I've taken her to places. I've taken her on safari in South Africa. I have taken her to Dubai. I said, I am waiting to reap from the seeds that I have sown. How many are believing God with me? So when you see her, remind her. Yeah, she asked to take me on vacation. Abba. I'm just saying that whatever God has blessed you with, learn to enjoy it. But don't let that become your only focus in life. Just spending, blowing time, traveling all over the place. And there is a place for that. But I want to say to you that God blesses us for a reason. To be a blessing to others, but also to finance his kingdom. Hallelujah. And he won't force you. In fact, if you check from the scripture that I read in Exodus 35, or I referred to in Exodus 35, he was specific in the instruction he gave to Moses that as those who have generous hearts or who have willing hearts to give, which means that he didn't force them. He didn't force them at all. Even though he was the one who gave them the favor that resulted in their blessing, he did not come making demands. That's why as pastors, when we are taking offerings and all of those things, we mustn't force people. We mustn't manipulate them. We mustn't exploit them. We mustn't control them. We must allow people to give willingly, wholeheartedly, and generously. Because there's too much of manipulation going on in the body of Christ. So people feel guilty when, you know, fundraising is being done and certain amounts are mentioned and they cannot go for it. And sometimes those who are doing the fundraising can walk to people and forcefully place envelopes in their hands. What's that? People must be allowed, because God doesn't force anybody to do anything. No. He wants, that's why the Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Look, I'm sure you've noticed that there's a certain way we go about taking offerings and tithes and raising funds and all of that. And you're false. And you're false. And I've explained to you that I want you to get to a place in your Christian walk where giving is something you understand. And you do it generously and you do it
wholeheartedly and you do it willingly without being constrained, without being manipulated, without being exploited. That's the place I want you to get to. And I've realized that even though one doesn't place so much emphasis on bring this, bring this, bring that, God is taking care of us. God is taking care of us. But understand that out of what God has given to you, He's expecting you to generously support His kingdom and the building of His house. I've met some Christians who have taken decisions that I'm not going to give to the church anymore. I'm not going to pay tithes. I'm not going to give offerings and all of those things. I suppose that the reason for that decision is the excesses that have occurred. Now, what these people say is that I'd rather use the money to do humanitarian things, to help the poor, to support NGOs and certain causes. There's nothing wrong with that. But may I say something to you, my friend? That the thing, it is not either or. That either you're using your money to support the kingdom of God, the house of God, or you're using the money to support poor people and do humanitarian things. It is both. God's expectation of us is to finance His kingdom, finance His house, and also to do humanitarian things. That's why if you go into the tithing and how it was set up, you discover that there were different types of tithes. Some were used to support the Levites and to support the house of God, the tabernacle. Others were used to support foreigners, to support orphans, to support widows. So there's a place for all of that. It is not either or. We must do everything. And you are profitable unto the master when you use the resources that is given to you, the money that is given to you, to advance His kingdom. Otherwise, He looks at you with astonishment that me, I have blessed you. And you don't care about my house and letting things work in my house. You are repulsive to Him if that is how your mind works. The next one, the next aspect that we can be profitable unto the master in is in using our skills, gifts, and abilities to help God's work and to serve in His house. We must use our skills, our gifts, and our abilities to help God's work and to serve in His house. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11. 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11.
Lord, I offer my life to You. Everything.
Oh, thank You, Jesus.
Oh, yes. Use it for Your glory. Lord, I offer my days to You, lifting my praise to You as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer You my life.
Lift your hand and sing it again. Lord, I offer.
Lord, I offer my life to You. Everything I've been through, use it for Your glory. To You, lifting my praise to You, as a pleasing sacrifice. Oh yes, Lord, I offer You my life.
In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Every one of us has a gift from the Lord. He says, use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Christ Jesus. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Notice, God has given each of us a gift. There's nobody listening to me. There's no child of God who hasn't been gifted with something. And even though it talks about spiritual gifts, it can also refer to secular gifts. Everybody is gifted in something. If you don't know what your gift is, it means that you haven't discovered it. But there is something that you can do. There is an impact that you can make. There is an effect that you can have wherever you are. Some have a greater impact than others, but everybody can contribute something, because it is the little contribution and the much contribution that lead to great things being done. Hallelujah. So every one of us has a gift from God, and we must use those gifts, those skills and abilities to help God's work and to serve in his house. Look at Exodus 35 verse 10. Again, when they were building the tabernacle, this was the instruction that was given. Come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen. Gifted craftsmen. Are you a Christian? And are you a gifted craftsman? Is that something that you can do and you can do well? It says, come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen. Construct everything that the Lord has commanded. So, and look at verse 25 to 26. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen cloth. All the women who were willing used their skills to spin the goat hair into yarn. So these were fashion designers. If you are a fashion designer in the house of God, your skills must benefit the church. Must benefit the house of God. Must benefit the kingdom of God. Look at chapter 36, verse 1 to 2. The Lord has gifted Bezalel, Oholiab, and the other skilled craftsmen with wisdom and ability to perform any task involved in building the sanctuary. Let them construct and furnish the tabernacle just as the Lord has commanded. So Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and all the others who were specially gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to work. So what gift do you have? What skills do you have? What abilities do you have? And what are you using them for? Is there any way the house of God and the kingdom of God is benefiting from those skills and those abilities that you have? And I want to thank God for the skilled craftsmen who have helped to put this place together. If I look at the project manager, the one who's been in charge of everything that we've done here so far, he has not brought me any bill as his labor. He hasn't. Everything that is done here, he's not brought me a bill and say, pay me 20 Ghana cedis or 30. No. Any labor that has been paid has been paid to his workers. But he himself, because project manager, the monies they charge to supervise projects, you have no idea. He never asked me for a peswa. He's used his skills, his ability, what God has given to him to help to build the kingdom of God. The steel work and all the things done here. You know, it's just something very little that we, and the guy was involved in it, one of our guys in the Ashes ministry. He doesn't charge. He just says, find something for me and the boys. find something for me and the boys. And of course, I try to find something that is substantial. Because sometimes we exploit people too much. There are carpenters who have done things for us. Painters who have done things for us. The point that I am making is that whatever gift, whatever skill, whatever ability that you have, it is the expectation of the master that you'll be profitable unto him by using that gift, that skill, and that ability to take care of things in his house. What are you good at? Is the kingdom of God benefiting from that thing? You can act. You can dance. You can sing. You are a good organizer. You are fantastic with children. Are you being profitable unto the master by using those gifts? Or you, your own is to teach them in school, in the classroom. That's all. But what about helping us to take care of the children at the children's church? Yours is just to teach. Ba, sheep. Have you made a moon? Yes, sir. Master. 3 bars full. One for the master. One for the lady. One for the little boy who lives down there. That's all you're teaching. Can't you help out at the children's church? Can't you use that ability that you have to organize children, to keep them attentive to things? Why can't you use that to help the little children who are the future of the church? Are you being profitable to the master in that regard? Your gifts, your abilities. Sometimes you see in the house of God people who can do things and they are very some way about it. It's almost like you have to force them to do what they can do. But God gave them that gift, gave them that skill, gave them that ability for a purpose. Because sometimes I get all kinds of attitudes from people. And you realize that they are not thinking straight and they are not thinking correctly. They don't recognize that it is a great privilege to use what the master has given you to serve in his house and to advance in his, to advance his kingdom. So that's another aspect that we can be profitable unto the master in. Now, there are 4 key things that are needed in order to be profitable to the master. And that will bring us to the end of this series. 4 key things that are needed if we are going to be profitable unto the master. Number 1, availability. We must be available. Isaiah 6 verse 8. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to these people? Who will go for us? I said, this is Isaiah, here I am, send me. That means I'm available. I'm available. You can send me. The response of many a Christian is, here I am. Send him. Send her. Send them. I can't get involved in any of these things. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I have too many responsibilities. So send somebody else. And so because of the lack of availability, there are many Christians who are not profitable unto the master. I hope you are not one of them. Luke 9, verse 57 to 62. Availability. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Then he said to another person, come follow me. The man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. That means I'm not available. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you. But first, let me say goodbye to my family. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. It is a case of unavailability where these guys were concerned. They were not available. And when you are not available, you cannot be profitable unto the master. We read about the prophet Isaiah and the great things that he did. And you see, the beginning of the great things that he did was His availability. That's where it all started. The great things that came out of him came about because he made himself available. You cannot be profitable unto the master until you avail yourself. And making yourself available sometimes calls for sacrifices. You may have to cut off certain things. You may have to spend a bit more. You may have to make certain moves in order to be available. But hear me, my friend. If you are not available, you cannot be useful unto the master. That's it. And by the way, if you are waiting for an ideal time to be able to do certain things, take it from me, somebody who's been around for some time. There's nothing like an ideal time. There's nothing like that. Every time and every season of your life, you should avail yourself for God to use. So if you are a student and you feel that you are too busy as a student and you cannot do certain things for the Lord and all of that, and that you think that when you finish school, you will have time. You're joking. You are a novice. That's why you are talking like that. You should be able to serve God and avail yourself to him to use, even as a student. When you become a worker, you should make yourself available to God. When you marry and you are having children, even after the 7 children that you have, you should still sing for the Lord. Because there are people, they sing for the Lord, they do all sorts of things. After they start having children, it's as though they were never anointed to do anything. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. So the first key thing that is needed in order to be profitable unto the master is availability. The next one, faithfulness. Faithfulness. That means being constant, dependable, devoted, committed, steadfast, unwavering. Faithfulness is needed in order to be profitable unto the master. Matthew 24 verse 45. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. Look at the qualification. Faithful, sensible. But my focus here is on the faithful. Faithful. If you are not faithful, you cannot be profitable unto the master. Matthew 25, 20 to 21. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and dear man. I didn't hear you. Faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Verse 22 to 23. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest and I've earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling the small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Here also, he was recommended for being what? Faithful. That means dependable, reliable, constant, unwavering, available. If you are not faithful, you will never be profitable unto the master. So whatever responsibilities that you carry in the house of God, it is required of you that you be faithful. You be constant at it. It's not like today you are there, the next time you are not there. Today you are active, the next time you are not active. It's a sign of unfaithfulness. And that makes you unprofitable unto the master. And the reason why gifted people sometimes do not reach great heights is because they are not faithful with what God has given to them. They are not. Because faithfulness has to do with being constant at what you are doing, irrespective of the challenges and the obstacles that confront you in life. And ladies and gentlemen, in this life, there are challenges and there are difficulties and there are obstacles that will confront you. But you got to learn to overcome those challenges and obstacles and persevere and remain profitable unto the master through your faithfulness. Hallelujah. The third key, hard work and diligence. Hard work and diligence. You cannot be profitable unto the master unless you work hard and you are diligent. When you are diligent, it means You put in constant and earnest effort to accomplish what has to be done. Constant and earnest effort to accomplish what has to be done. Or you persist in doing what has to be done. That's what it means to be diligent. And to be profitable unto the master, you must work hard and you must be diligent. Romans 12 verse 11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Never be there lazy, but do what? Work hard. Work hard. Work hard. Serving God, being profitable unto him, requires a lot of hard work. It requires a lot of hard work. Proverbs 13 verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. If you look at the same verse from the New Living Translation, lazy people want much but get little, but those who work hard will prosper. And God is the one who prospers people, but is connected to working hard and being diligent. So are you surprised that you don't seem to be prospering much in anything that you are doing? Could the reason be that when it comes to the service that you are rendering to the master, you are not working hard and you are not working diligently? Could that be the reason why things are not working in a certain way? It's possible. The next key thing, a good attitude. You can never be profitable unto the master unless you have a good attitude. And this is a problem you have with a lot of people in their service to the Lord. They have attitudes that stink. Horrible attitudes. So again, Romans 12, 11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Attitude. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. That means serve him zealously. Serve him happily. Colossians 3, 17. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You must have an attitude of whatever I'm doing is unto the Lord. Is unto who? Psalms 100 verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Attitude. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. That means with joy. With excitement. Not with complaints. Not with memories. Not always criticizing. Why? What is this small service that you are rendering in the house of God? Every time you have one criticism or the other. Always talking, criticizing. This person has done this. That person has done it. There's no love. There's no care. There's no concern. What's wrong with you? So you are serving, but the attitude is wrong. And it's almost like what you are doing, we have to beg you before you do it. When it happens like that, you are not profitable unto the master. Number five, it is never too late to be useful to the master. It's never too late to be useful to the master. That's the fifth thing that you must know in order to be profitable unto the master. It is never too late to be useful to the master. Write Philemon chapter 1 verse 10 to 11 down. Write it down. Philemon chapter 1 verse 10 to 11. Number six, the master recognizes and appreciates all you do for him and for his people. That's the sixth thing you must know if you're going to be profitable unto the master, which is that the master recognizes and appreciates all that you do for him and for his people. Hallelujah. Right? Matthew 25 verse 31 to 40. Matthew 25 verse 31 to 40. You know, that's where you find the story of Jesus separating the sheep from the goats. And you say to the sheep, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and invited me to your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. So God was happy with these people and rewarded them because of what they did for him. And I'm saying to you that to be profitable unto the master, know that he recognizes and appreciates all that you do for him and for his people. So don't stop the things that you are doing. Don't get to a place and tell yourself that it is in vain. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, be ye steadfast, unshakable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord will never be in vain. So that's the last point. Always remember that whatever you do for the Lord will never be in vain. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the series on Profitable Unto the Master. I am praying that you have been imparted through this teaching, that it will stir up something inside you, and it will change a certain attitude that perhaps has limited you from being profitable unto the Master. Let every one of us, after sharing a sermon like this, determine that I will not waste what God has given to me, but I will use my resources, my money, my gifts, my talents, my intellect, my abilities, my skills in the service of the Lord, that I may be profitable unto Him. Decide that you're going to move into a season of profitability that you have never operated in before. And you can. And through the help of the Holy Spirit, may the Master be pleased with you, and may you hear these words when you stand before Him. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. God bless you. Rise to your feet and let us pray. I want you to pray for yourself at this time and thank God for His word. Perhaps you want to talk to God about where you've fallen short and where you have failed in being profitable unto Him. Ask Him to forgive you for any bad attitude or negative attitude that you've had towards things. And I want you to pray and say, Father, help me to be profitable in my service to You, in my knowledge of You. Help me to be profitable. Let me be pleasing unto You. Help me to carry out everything that You've commanded and instructed me to, in the name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord right now and thank Him as we get ready to close tonight's service, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Put a new spirit in us, a spirit that is willing, that wholeheartedly follows the Lord, a spirit that is committed to serving God and being profitable unto the Master. I pray that that spirit will be released upon us, that will be imparted with that spirit and with that attitude of a good servant. Thank You, Father, that we're going to be profitable unto our Master like never before. In Jesus' mighty name, let the people of God say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.